Hi everyone, this is the Blockchain Socialist, and I figured I would do a review of my experience in Lisbon for the past week. So I've been, in case you didn't know, like the past week in Lisbon, Portugal, there was the Lisbon Blockchain Week. So you had a bunch of different events happening in person in Lisbon. For example, you had really big Ethereum conferences where all the like, you know, major players, all the like largest DeFi protocols and like the people who run them and who work on them all coming together in Lisbon for this past week and probably still going on now. And I was just there. I just got back from Lisbon. And so this is just like one day after. And I thought this could be a really interesting opportunity for me to just like review some of the things that I saw and some of the things that I observed while there. And like, you know, the limited things that I was able to see, of course, I didn't go to everything. I thought it could be interesting for some of you guys. So I arrived in Portugal, and the biggest reason for that to come to this event was to actually do some filming. So I'm actually creating a, or in the process of creating a documentary with a friend of mine. And so we started off previously at the Crypto Commons gathering, which was a different conference that happened in Austria about a month or so ago. And we had met there and we had already started creating a documentary at the Crypto Commons gathering because we wanted to show sort of like the, well, the premise is sort of this, all right? We have these really big documentaries like The Social Dilemma, The Great Hack, which talk about all the problems with tech and all the fact that they extract all this value from our data. And it causes a lot of these issues. For example, creates a surveillance state. It, you know, does all these things. It makes like horrible incentives for these businesses, for big tech businesses. And so that's a problem. And then they sort of just stop there. So the purpose of our documentary is to try to go a step further and look underneath what are some of these like emergent alternatives, or at least potential alternatives that are out there. And of course, one of the biggest places where this is happening is in the crypto and blockchain space. The big thing at the Crypto Commons gathering was sort of like the synthesis of commons political theory with crypto and like, you know, blockchain technology, which is really interesting. That's where we first met. That's where we first started filming. And then we wanted to sort of continue our journey going to new conferences where similar types of people would be. So the next place that we went to was a conference called The Daoist. The Daoist, if you don't know, is an event that was organized in Paris at ETHCC. So another one of these like big Ethereum conferences. Because the actual event itself, ETHCC, didn't have enough space for all of the, quote, DAO people, or people who are working in DAOs. And so we wanted to go to this event so that we could film and so we can talk to some of these experts that were now having this event again, but in Lisbon. We set up our filming stuff and everything there, and I was sort of like the main person who was doing all of the interviews just like before, and I'm the one who's sort of like doing all the talking while my friend who's a filmmaker was handling all the cameras and things like that. So most of my time at the Daoist was spent like hunting people down and then like sitting them down and asking them all these questions because we wanted to hear their thoughts on the DAO space and what their vision was for the future. That was a really, really interesting experience, actually, because I got to meet face-to-face all of these people who are, for the most part at the moment, just sort of like avatars online, right? You get to see them, like, actually talk about and, like, see their body language, which, I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but you can, like, see, you can tell a lot more about a person through that. But it was really, really interesting conversations. There's a lot of very, very cool people. And I think we got like a really, really interesting amount of film and like interesting moments that we can put into the documentary that I think will show, even though that there are contradictions in the DAO space for sure, and there are like not fully thought out, you know, thoughts on the politics of everything. But what's really interesting is that we're very, very hopeful, of course, that DAOs are going to be something that are here to stay and that are going to be prevalent in the future. So it was a very, very interesting time. Talked to a lot of different people, some of them who I told them that I was the blockchain socialist, you know, and some people that I just never really got the chance to bring that up. And so it was interesting to see some people who like had heard about me and like seeing their reactions, and like some people who had not heard about me. And so it was pretty cool to be able to like meet people in person. But yeah, the Dallas was a really, really interesting event. It was probably one of my favorites just because it was sort of like the DAO space just tends to be a little bit more left-wing to a certain extent. The other big event that happened was LizCon. So LizCon was just sort of like the main Ethereum, largely Ethereum, but not solely, sort of like blockchain event that was happening in Lisbon. I didn't go to the first day of LizCon because I had to do some more filming during that day, so I didn't have the chance. But then I was able to go to the second day, and also just like I didn't have a ticket actually to the event, so I had to. Luckily, I have a friend who was able to give me his, and I was able to go for the second day. But what I realized actually is that it's not probably so difficult to sneak into these events. So like if you have one of these type of events happening in your town or like near you, or you want to go and like maybe try to see if you can attend some of these things, I would say go anyways, because even if you don't have a ticket, because you can find a way to get in. It's really not, it would not be so difficult to figure it out. At least that's how it was at LizCon. And that's what I was told, that a lot of these type of events were not so difficult to get into. As long as you like, if you really wanted to go in, then like you could find a way. It wasn't so hard. But so LizCon was a more like generic pan industry type of event, with people from all types of projects. I mean, of course, there was a big domination of like these different DeFi protocols, but also you had a couple of like alternative layer one blockchains. So like, you know, by layer one, I mean like the level of Ethereum, so a completely different blockchain. You had some of those as well. What was really interesting, what I noted the most, is that there were a lot of contradictions. So you had, you know, at one time you would have a talk about, oh, you know, we can use crypto to save the world. We can like provide all these different benefits to people in the third world, or we can provide benefits to people, I mean, not even the first world, just people in general, and provide a type of like social good. Then you would have a talk about how, oh, the space is becoming dominated by money and venture capital, and this is a problem. And maybe they wouldn't say that capitalism directly is a problem, but it would sort of like allude to like, yeah, kind of. It's very clearly that it is capitalism, even though people may be afraid to say something like that, especially at a place like this. So you had like this type of like kind of slight anti-capitalist energy for a couple of these talks. And then right after, you would have a talk from like Consensus. Consensus is like the largest, it's a really big for-profit company in the Ethereum space that's headed by one of the original founders of Ethereum, Joe Lubin, who's like he comes from like a corporate background. They're sort of like you can think of them as like a, I don't know, blockchain type of consulting company. But anyways, you see a lot of different types of contradictions. But at the same time, there was like still this general energy of like positivity, and it was like very cool to be there. You had like NFT art on the side, and like some of the NFT art was like, you know, references to drugs and stuff. So it was an interesting space. There was definitely like, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon for like for you to smell like weed being smoked. Not that it's a bad thing or anything. It's fine. But you know, they had this type of like hipster type of vibe. Usually people were generally pretty young. But yeah, it was really interesting. I was sort of like hiding in plain sight there. I wasn't really like telling people about my platform or anything because I just didn't really know who was who there. You also had like, there was at one table, you had like people were taking this like politics quiz about like what their crypto politics were. And one of the options included crypto leftist, which I thought was really interesting that someone found it and took it. And apparently, if you got that political persuasion, then you would be recommended to take a look at my site. I just thought it was interesting. And it ended up being that, like, I don't think that the politics quiz was very good. Big part because I didn't actually even, when I took the quiz, I didn't even get crypto leftist. So I think there's probably something wrong with that they need to fix with their politics quiz. But it was interesting to see that, to see, like, people... talk about politics quite a bit in that space. And then you had like people like Amir Taki, he was involved in the beginning of the founding of Ethereum, but he also he sort of left kind of early in the beginning of Ethereum. And he was also like one of the core Bitcoin developers in the very beginning. But he's a huge lefty, and I was able to talk with him and meet him. So I was able to meet like quite a lot of big name people in a very, very casual way, which is very interesting. That this is like these type of events are one of the places where you can very casually talk to people who are quite high up, I would say, in the blockchain world, in the crypto world. So that was very interesting to talk to these people. And as well, just on the side note, I was able to record an interview with Amir Taki. So you'll be able to listen to that sometime in the future. He's basically working on a project called DarkFi, which is meant to be a completely anonymous type of blockchain with the ability to interact with other blockchains. So like interoperability with Solana, Ethereum, and like all these other ones. And he has a really, really interesting political thesis around the idea that you have to achieve full anonymity and privacy in the digital space in order to begin to even think about making type of like democratic structures in a digital space. Which I think is an interesting thesis, and we had a really, really interesting talk. But anyways, what's also important and interesting, I think, is that a lot of these events also came with after parties, and there were all these like type of networking events that were happening throughout the city of Lisbon. So I went to a few of them, some of them better than others. Of course, the ones that were more mainstream type of events, you had like, you know, it's just like this really, really nasty type of feeling for me. But like people who would come up and like, you know, waddle up to your face, and be like, "Hi, what projects are you working on? How long have you been in crypto?" You know, and then they would like, talk about their stupid project on like building NFTs on Minecraft or some shit. Like, who gives a fuck? But of course, I wasn't like that mean and tried to like just nod and be like, "Wow, okay, interesting use of your time." And then when I would tell them that like I was working on a documentary about this, you know, what I'm about the subject that I'm actually trying to do for the documentary, you would just see their, you know, their eyes would just glaze over because they would lose interest. Like, "Oh, you can't provide me a job. You can't provide with money. You know, what's the point of this?" So that was pretty fun. That happened like a few times at least. And it was always, well, yeah, it was an interesting thing. But there were still quite some people that I was able to talk to who had like very interesting ideas and like were not like totally completely like these type of weirdos that, you know, that I at least personally wouldn't really enjoy spending too much time with. So I was able to meet some people who I think had some different politics than like people would think, you know, like people, the stereotype of like the libertarian crypto bro or something like that. On the side, though, just to note that I did meet some of those types of people, and like even the most extreme forms, in the sense that in an after party, I did meet a guy who was a self-declared anarcho-capitalist, and we spent maybe like 2 or 3 hours talking about politics because me and a couple of others were trying to convince him of the immortal science of Marxism. So that was pretty fun. And it was a very like civil conversation, even though like, you know, you have like, you know, he has like kind of views I wouldn't agree with. And like, you know, it's a very different thing when you're interacting with someone with such different views in this type of setting where, and it was like a party, so like, you know, we were drinking and you're like, it was supposed to be a fun time. Like it's different than, of course, when you're like online and where it immediately goes to like, you know, insulting the other person almost, or like, you know, this type of like childish games. Here, what was really nice, being in person, I felt like I was able to explain socialism and left-wing politics in a way that he was able to understand, because I was able to, like, having the conversation and having the person in front of you, the body language, the face, you know, that it humanizes the person a lot more than like an avatar online does. But anyways, we had a really interesting conversation. I would like to think that I at least planted a few seeds that will make him think about you know, what Marxism actually means and what like left-wing politics is, and about his own politics. Like, I think you can't really expect, when you're talking to someone about something that's so abstract, like these type of political theories, that they will be convinced. Like, I don't think, random word of unwanted advice is that I would say you should never expect someone to be convinced after one conversation, and you have to think of it as an ongoing discussion that will take like several smaller conversations for there to be any sort of like move, because a person has to like process the information. But anyways, that was really interesting. Like, I think it's only in these crypto spaces really that I would ever probably find a self-declared anarcho-capitalist in my life. But it was cool to actually see that. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was like probably one of the craziest weeks I've had in a very long time, at least since like pre-pandemic, I can say. But it was a super interesting and super insightful. Like, it is just very cool to be able to mingle with people who are on the inside a bit more and who have like direct access to the type of information and like to understand the type of thinking that's going on at these different DeFi protocols and at these different DAOs and projects. And so I had overall a good time personally, but of course there are still a lot of these like lingering issues, you know. It was obvious there was a lot of like displays of wealth to a certain degree. I mean, there was a bit of like, yeah, like, for example, it was already talked about on social media anyways, but like 1inch, which is like an exchange, a DeFi exchange, at their booth, they had like booth girls that were like dressed up, you know, very tight clothing and such. So there was a lot of elements of like, oh my God, stereotypical like tech bro, like misogynist who like, you know, fucking awkward as shit with women or whatever, just like doesn't know how to like socialize properly. There was like quite a bit of that, and like no doubt. But I guess I spent my time really trying to focus on meeting with the people that I wanted to meet with and that I already knew that I identified with and like had a lot in common with. So it was also very cool to meet a lot of like other lefties that are in this space, and like, you know, grab dinner with each other, have drinks, and like being able to talk in like more detail about what our thoughts are and like what our projects are. And like, you know, there's something different about having met someone in person and like connected with them in person that I think is really important. And especially in these type of days where everything is like very online and like people are having a large amount of their interactions, their social interactions, through online platforms, I think it's really important for people to think about meeting in person whenever they can for these type of things, especially when it comes to politics and things as important as this. So I would say if you are someone, of course, who identifies as being on the left, it's of course still very important to actually meet people in person who are also on the left. So if you have the opportunity to do that, I really, really think you should do everything that you can so that you are able to. So that includes, that could just be joining an organization. It could be, you know, going to different types of meetups. But I think it really, really does change you whenever you can begin to do these things that you maybe feel very strongly about in person, rather than solely having it mediated through online platforms. But yeah, I think that's my review of Lisbon Blockchain Week, at least what I was able to do. I met lots of cool people, lots of contradictions, but that's sort of like the nature of the space and something that to be embraced. I was able to share more explicit left-wing politics with people who otherwise wouldn't be exposed to it, even though they may consider themselves more left-wing. I was able to, like, I think, push them a little bit more and like plant seeds in different places where I could. So yeah, overall, I think it was very important. And I think if we had a type of political organization who could come to these events and like begin to interact with people in person, I think that would really, really, really be interesting. And I think in certain spaces could also be very, very welcomed. So especially in like the DAO spaces, the Taoist, like these type of things, I think we could have a type of, you know, left-wing organization that was represented at this space, which could then expand into maybe the more mainstream spaces. And there we can like start to create a larger left-wing influence. But yeah, so those are some of my thoughts. Let me know what you guys think, or if you have any questions or want me to expand on, you can do so in the comments on Patreon. Or you can reach out to me on the Discord or something like that. But yeah, thanks guys.